and not rely any longer on surrogates to protect American interests in the Persian Gulf region.
Let our position be absolutely clear. An attempt by any outside force to gain control of the Persian Gulf region will be regarded as an assault on the vital interests of the United States of America, and such an assault will be repelled by any means necessary, including military force.
This was a radical step because for the first time it said explicitly that the protection of Middle Eastern oil was a vital national security interest of the United States. Now the problem is, at the time, the United States didn't have any forces that was specifically earmarked for operations in the Persian Gulf area. And so Carter created the Rapid Deployment Joint Task Force to act as an interim force.
In the past, we've not had an adequate military presence in that region. Now we have two major carrier task forces. We have access to facilities in five different areas of that region. And we've made it clear that, working with our allies and others, that we are prepared to address any foreseeable eventuality which might interrupt commerce with that crucial area of the world. This, I believe, has assured that our interests will be protected in the Persian Gulf region, as we've done in the Middle East and throughout the world.
And this became the nucleus for the Central Command.
I am not frightened by what lies ahead, and I don't believe the American people are frightened by what lies ahead.
President Carter lost the election in 1980, and Ronald Reagan stepped in. And despite all of his criticism of Carter, Reagan took the initiatives of the Carter Doctrine and beefed them up even further.
Deterrence means simply this: making sure any adversary who thinks about attacking the United States or our allies or our vital interests concludes that the risks to him outweigh any potential gains. Once he understands that, he won't attack.
And among his first actions was to take the Rapid Deployment Joint Task Force and make it even bigger, and it was he who converted it into the Central Command in 1983. Central Command is a very recent addition to the roster of America's unified commands. We've long had a European Command, a Pacific Command, a Southern Command in Latin America, but there was none in the Middle East. And this is where most of the world's remaining oil is located. President Reagan created the Central Command to exercise control over American forces in that middle part of the world.
As long as Saudi Arabia and the OPEC nations there in the East, and Saudi Arabia is the most important, provide the bulk of the energy that is needed to turn the wheels of industry in the Western world, there's no way that we could stand by and see that taken over by anyone that would shut off that oil.
The original function of the Central Command, very clearly elaborated by the Reagan administration, was primarily to protect the flow of oil from the Persian Gulf to the United States and markets around the world. That's always been its primary focus. This is the period of the Iran-Iraq War, which broke out in 1980 and intensified in the 1986-1987, when the Iranians started attacking Kuwaiti oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. What Reagan did is say, okay, let us stick American flags on the stern of Kuwaiti oil tankers, which means it's legitimate to protect them by the American Navy. And that's exactly what happened.
After months of policy confusion and political debate, the U.S. Navy is poised today just outside the Persian Gulf to escort the first two Kuwaiti tankers past Iranian guns. Five warships to be used in the first leg have a mix of almost every weapon in the Navy's arsenal.
It was a clear use of military force explicitly to protect the flow of oil. There was no other motive for this. There was no freedom at stake, no democracy at stake, no terrorism at stake. It was simply to keep the oil lanes open.
We remain deeply committed to supporting the self-defense of our friends in the Gulf and to ensuring the free flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz.
This has always been the primary function of the Central Command, to protect the flow of oil from the Persian Gulf to the United States and its allies.
We have some drama unfolding in the Middle East to report to you tonight. Diplomats in Kuwait are now saying that Iraqi troops have crossed the border into Kuwait.
And when Iraqi forces invaded Kuwait, the first President Bush gave the Carter Doctrine its most extreme, most substantial implementation.
It is about our own national security interests and ensuring the peace and stability of the entire world.
When President Bush met with his advisors at Camp David on August 3rd and 4th, the fear was that Saddam Hussein was within striking range of Saudi Arabia's oil fields. And this created a panic situation in Washington.
This will not stand. This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait.
And President Bush concluded at that moment that we had to act militarily.
We have sent forces to defend Saudi Arabia. The integrity of Saudi Arabia, its freedom, are very, very important to the United States.
What's so interesting here is how clear it was in August and September 1990 that oil was the trigger for U.S. intervention in the first Persian Gulf War.
Our jobs, our way of life, our own freedom, and the freedom of friendly countries around the world would all suffer if control of the world's great oil reserves fell into the hands of that one man, Saddam Hussein.
But this aroused protests around the country, and polling data showed that the public was firmly opposed to a war in the Middle East for oil. So over the course of the next few months, Bush changed his tack.
Some people never get the word. The fight isn't about oil.
And he stopped talking about oil.
I'm deeply concerned about Saddam's efforts to acquire nuclear weapons.
Saddam Hussein systematically raped, pillaged, and plundered a tiny nation.
And oil simply disappeared from the discourse.
And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Hitler revisited, a totalitarianism and a brutality that is naked and unprecedented.
And increasingly elaborate reasons were given for going to war.
They had kids in incubators, and they were thrown out of the incubators so that Kuwait could be systematically dismantled.
And only then did Congress vote in support of that first war, Operation Desert Storm.